Good morning, members. Good morning to the Department of Labor and the entities. As the notice was sent out to members some time ago, we have the budget reviews of the department and the entities, as Chairperson has just mentioned, and they were spread through over 3 days, as the notice says. Today, the 3rd, and tomorrow, the 4th, and Friday, the 5th. Today, we're supposed to be having the Department of Labor and the Sheltered Employment, which is also part of the department, and then we're also supposed to have the the Compensation Fund, and then tomorrow, the 4th, is supposed to have the UIF, Productivity SA, and then on Friday we have CCMA and NEDLAC. So the agenda, as it stands today, is we'll receive apologies. I'll read out the apologies, two that I have, and then it will be the adoption of this agenda, which is basically the budget review of the department and its entities, as I've explained, deliberations on the presentations, consideration of the draft minutes of our last meeting, and closure. Thank you, Chair. The only two apologies that I have is from, one is from Mr. Kowama, who has other commitments, and also Mr. Bergrain, who's taken a leave. Thank you, Chair.
Members, there are apologies in relation to the problem, to the program as it stands. Apologies for Friday, meaning that members will be available if we are finishing tomorrow. So I therefore suggest that instead of spreading the items to Friday, let's do these items in these 2 days so that everybody is part of the program. And I, Honorable Lewis.
Thanks, Chair. If the entities are available, I also suggest that what we can do is, from the two we were going to do on Friday, we take one today and we add the other to tomorrow's program. Thank you.
DG, so you know who you have today, then you can advise us so that we do accordingly. Honorable Loliwe, was it only a suggestion seconding or also adopting the agenda?
Chair, it is a suggestion which is saying, yes, let's amend as such. And also, we need to consider starting time for tomorrow in light of the caucuses.
Oh. You, Honorable Lolly, we were not away from the committee side, because we get that before Zolani draft, he looks at the parliamentary program. So we thought that it's only, do we have a caucus? Okay, Honorable, you know, I've been away for quite some time. Honorable Olive. Yeah.
Thanks, Chair. I happily endorse your proposal to shift the Friday program onto these 2 days. The programming committee declared this a committee week, so our party has cancel the caucus. We have no caucus. It's been cancelled. I'm not sure what other parties have done, but our party has cancelled the caucus because it's a committee week, so I'm not sure how that plays with other parties.
Also, I don't have that notice.
Yes, Chair. Even with us, initially we did not have a caucus, but we have since received notice that tomorrow there is a caucus between 10 and 12:30 tomorrow.
Oh, 10 and 12:30. Okay, so what then, members, are you suggesting? Definitely we will continue tomorrow, but what do you suggest so that we are accommodated? You know, we can't skip the caucus. We have to be part of the caucus. Yes. What is the suggestion, Honorable Lolio?
Chair, I want to check with the department, because if members agree, I would propose that today we do today and Friday's work, taking out the part of the minutes in today's program. And then tomorrow we start at 1, then we'll be doing the two entities we were to do for the remaining ones.
That's the proposal. Honorable Ollis?
The caucus, the NC caucus is 10:30. 10. Okay, I was going to suggest from 9 until 10 we do one entity, and then so that we, you know, don't waste the time and try to accommodate all the different things. And then we break for caucus. We can go and do our own office work and come back at... Yeah, okay.
I think you are agreeing with each other in terms of proposals. Did you then guide us in terms of who is here so that we can then align our program of today with the entities that are here? Now, tell us who will start and then in the order.
Good morning, Chair, and the honorable members. We have the supported employment enterprises, we have NEDLAC, we have the compensation fund here. I'm trying to check if the CCMA is here, because we were with the director of the CCMA yesterday, but he is aware that he should be coming in tomorrow. So if he's around, then we will also do the CCMA, and as the committee seems to suggest, we will then tomorrow do unemployment insurance fund and productivity in Africa.
Honorable Mkongi, he is one of the members who have been redeployed. Now he's a deputy minister. Honorable Loli, do we have a replacement yet?
Not yet, Chair. We'll get it maybe tomorrow.
Then I just wish to welcome everybody who is here. DG with your officials and members as well. I think we had a hectic recess as well. But I'm sure we are all ready and geared to continue the role that we are expected to play in the committees, and in particular this committee. And we can then start. Did you?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Just to introduce the delegation, sitting right, nearly said right next to me, left next to me is the COO of the department, Ms. Marsha Bronkhorst, and the gentleman would be operating the presentations there is Mr. Welile Lwengu, also from the DG's office. Advocate Nhleki, from the DG's office, sitting next to him is the Compensation Fund Commissioner, Mr. Mafata. The gentleman there in black is Mr. Letuaba from the Compensation Fund. And over there...
Can they please show the hands?
Just raise your hand, yes. Okay. See, there is a man in black, really. And the gentleman there is the CEO of SEE, Mr. Londoango, and the CFO of the CEE, Spellet. The two ladies that are coming in now is Ms. Moilwa, who's the Inspector General, and next to her is the DDG Corporate Services, Ms. Bahumi Matebesi. The gentleman sitting here is the acting CFO of the Compensation Fund, Mr. Head Bush. And next to him is Mr. Govender from the Public Employment Services, representing the DDG Public Employment Services. Mr. Mrotoba is not with us today. And the Executive Director of NEDLAC, Mr. Vilakazi. And the guy who's sitting there writing with long beard is Mr. Stembele Chwete, who's the spokesperson of the ministry. And right next to him is Mr. Greg Schneemann, who's the chief of staff in the minister's office. And the gentleman sitting right next to him is Mr. Tebogo Tijane. He's the acting communications chief director in the department. And the lady sitting there is a provincial communication officer, Candice, Ms. Van Riel. And the gentleman coming in is Mr. Virgil Seafield, is the DDG responsible for labor market policy. Chairperson, when we put together the strat plan and the APP of the department, we were mindful of the financial challenges that our country is going through, because these challenges, they have a direct and indirect effect on the work that we do as a Department of Labor, the policy development mandate that we have. It was on this basis that our strategic plan and annual performance plan for 2017-18 are carefully crafted so that we can navigate through the 2017 and 2018. So financial years. The process of crafting the strat plan and annual performance plan therefore took into consideration a number of factors, such as the resources at our disposal, the service delivery demands and expectations that the society has, and in order to ensure that we do not compromise the quality of service expected of us, we had to cautiously rationalize our indicators and targets. So the strat plan and the APP of the department for 2017 and 18 is aimed at guaranteeing our clients with an improved service experience. As part of ensuring that we improve operational efficiency and customer service experience, we're improving the capacity of our officials at the front line and thus increasing the number of client service officers. So these are the number of initiatives that we're taking to make sure that our clients get better service when they receive when they are received by our officials at our offices. I thought I should make those opening remarks, Chairperson, so that the committee has an appreciation of the considerations that we had to make in putting together the strat plan and the APP. It's going to be, the resources are dwindling, but the demands are increasing. Demands for services are increasing. We have to navigate through that and balance what we have versus our capability as a department. So I'm going to ask the COO to run through the presentation, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Just before that, DJ, it's clear that you have done your reshuffle in the department and also in the province. Mr. Tejana used to be the chief director from the province. And who is the chief director now?
Thank you, Chairperson. The acting chief director now is Mr. Mawele Ndamo. He is not here. Mr. Tejane has been moved to the communications department, and he has been there since last year.
Chairperson, thank you. Good morning, and good morning to the members of the Portfolio Committee. The presentation that I'm going to do touches on the strat plan of the Department of Labour as well as the annual performance plan. And the first slide is the table of contents. Slide 2 talks about the DOL programs and entities, which I am sure is more than well known to with the members of this committee. What I have done is I have linked the strategic plan of the Department of Labour to the strategic service delivery outcomes of government, and if we can move to slide number 6. What I have done there is to look at the strategic outcome of government and link the particular key result areas and indicators of the Department of Labour to those outcomes so that we can see how we are supporting the strategic outcomes of government. Outcome 4, that of decent employment through inclusive economic growth. Most, as you can see, of the programs of the Department of Labour is supporting this outcome. Firstly, the promotion of occupational health services, the contribution to decent employment creation, as well as the protection of vulnerable workers. We also use strengthening of occupational safety protection and the promotion of sound labour relations here, as well as the monitoring of the impact of legislation and then the development of occupational health and safety policies. In terms of outcome 5, a skilled and capable workforce to support an inclusive growth path. This is primarily the work supported by the Public Employment Services branch, which is the contribution to employment creation. Outcome 11, the creation of a better South Africa, a better Africa and a better world, is supported by the branch labour policy and international relations, the strengthening of our multilateral and bilateral relations. Outcome 12, the efficient, effective development-orientated public service, that is done by the branch administration, where we specifically link the strengthening of the institutional capacity of the department. Outcome 13, an inclusive and responsive social protection services. Clearly that is the unemployment insurance fund and the compensation fund. And then outcome 14 is transforming society and uniting the nation, which is the promotion of equity in the labour market, which is done by the inspection and enforcement services and labour policy and industrial relations. I've just put down on the next slide the map of South Africa with a number of service delivery points that we have. I would like to move directly to slide number 10, where I'm going to talk more specifically about the annual performance plan as per the different programs. Chairperson and members, we have tried to ensure that our annual performance plan is a leaner document and not so many indicators as we've had in the past. We've subjected this document to the scrutiny of our internal audit unit, and they have signed off in terms of the indicators so that we know that they are clearly meeting the criteria for the SMART principles in terms of the annual performance plan. The first one thereof is the percentage of the department's MPAT standards, which must reach level 3 and 4. You will see that we aim to have 40% of the standards on a level 3 by the 31st of March next year. Slide number 11, the departmental communication strategy. This is an area which is close to our heart, as we feel that there is a lot of good work that is being done in the department and that we can communicate this better. We have approved the departmental strategy in November of last year, and now we have to do the implementation thereof, and 100% of all these activities will be implemented as per the plan by the 31st of March next year. Then we come to administration in terms of those financial indicators which we have to include in our annual performance plan. The first one clearly is that of the annual financial statements and the interim statements, which must be prepared as per the due date set by National Treasury. And then again, the reporting of the detected irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which 100% of that must be reported and disclosed in our statements. I'm now going to move to the Inspection and Enforcement Services branch, and you will see that I have tried to unpack the numbers in terms of targets per province so that it's easy reference why we got or how we got to the total number, but with your indulgence, Chairperson, I'll only talk about the totals. Thank you. We are planning in the department to deliver on 217,008 inspections for the year going ahead, and these inspections are the numbers that are targeted based on the economic activity per province. That is why you will see the discrepancy as well as the resources then were allocated based on the economic activity and the targets that we have set for ourselves. The next slide, in terms of inspection services, here we are planning that 80% of employers who are non-compliant will be served with enforcement documents within 14 calendar days of the inspection. And of those employers who fail to react to the notices that we provide to them, 60% of them will be referred for prosecution within 30 calendar days thereafter. In terms of 1.4, the occupational health and safety, we aim to investigate and finalize 65% of all reported incidents within the time frames prescribed in the regulations and the Act. I'm moving to slide 15, which is that of public employment services. Again, here I'm going to refer only to the totals, but the same principle was followed in terms of economic activity and the numbers of people who have to be registered. 500,000 work seekers will be registered at least in the financial year 17-18. And on the next slide, we would like to register 60,000 work and learning opportunities on the Employment Services System of South Africa for the coming financial year. Again, there is a breakdown given per province. Slide 17. We aim to register, to provide work seekers with employment counselling, preparing them for the world of work, 140,000 in the coming year. Again, linked to the economic activity per province. On slide 18, the number of registered work and learning opportunities filled by registered work seekers per year. We aim to place at least 8,000 of our registered work seekers in relevant learning opportunities and or employment by the end of this financial year. That is public employment services. I'll move now to labour policy and industrial relations. A number of policy instruments will be developed and promoted to enhance the implementation of the Employment Equity Act. And first thereof is the Employment Equity Report, which will be published by 30 June, and I think we are due to launch it sometime this month, and then the Annual Employment Equity Report and Public Register, which must be developed by 31 March, that would be for this financial year. 2.1, the establishment of institution for the national minimum wage by 31 March. I'm sure members are aware of how far this process is, and we would like to draft the BCA amendments and the National Minimum Wage Bill by the end of June to finalize this process by the end of March, so take it through all its processes up to finalization so that we can establish the National Minimum Wage Commission by the end of March 2018. 3.1, we also view our multilateral obligations, bilateral agreements very important, and therefore that is in the annual performance plan. Two reports of our implementation of the bilateral cooperation and multilateral obligations must be submitted by March, as well as one midterm implementation report and an annual implementation report. It's just broken down to a midterm and an annual implementation report. Labour policy and industrial relations in terms of collective agreements which have to be extended within 90 calendar days. The department aims to finalise 100% of the collective agreements that we receive within 90 days of receipt by March. Going with that is the percentage of labour organisation applications that the registration approved or refused. That again, 100% of the applications must be either approved or refused within 90 calendar days by the end of March next year. 4.3, the moderation of workplace conflicts by amending the Labour Relations Act. There's quite a lot of work that we have to do, and we aim that the Act should be promulgated by 31 March. It's broken down as to the processes, when to be submitted to Cabinet, when to be submitted to Parliament for scrutiny, and then the State Law Advisor for sign-off thereof. Then 5.1, which is the publication of labour market trend reports. The branch would like to publish 4 annual labour market trend reports by the end of March, 2 by June, and these will include the job opportunity index as well as the unemployment in the South African labour market report. 5.2, the number of literature review reports which we have to sign off. It's again 4 literature review reports which we would like for labour market research to be produced and signed off by the 31st of March, so that we can keep our public informed of what's happening in the labour market. Chair, that takes care of the annual performance plan for the branches. If I can then move to the E&E allocations. For the Department of Labour, we received a total allocation of 3,065,821,000, so just over 3 billion rands, and it's broken down as follows. Administration received 885,562,000. Inspection and Enforcement Services received 532,748,000,000. Public Employment Services received 561,113,000,000. And then Labour Policy and Industrial Relations received the largest slice, 1,086,000,000 rands, or 186 million. You will notice that the slice for Labour Policy Industrial Relations is the largest because of all the transfer fees that have to be paid to CCMA, NetLag and so forth. I'm not going to unpack the budget, Chairperson, into detail unless you would require me to go into detail. Chair, can I proceed? Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Then as a last slide, I would like to also present the Supported Employment Enterprises Annual Performance Plan to the members. It is slide number 27 or 28. I think it's a bit small there, so I will, with indulgence, request members just to look at the document. Decent employment through economic, through inclusive economic growth for people with disabilities, which again is the supportive outcome for. The number of persons with disabilities provided with employment opportunities, 150 persons with disabilities will be provided with employment opportunities in SEE by the end of March 2018. Then we have a number of marketing campaigns which is outcome 12, supporting outcome 12, number of marketing campaigns. 9 marketing campaigns and awareness will be done regarding the existence of SEE as well as the products which is produced by the end of March, as well as 2 radio campaigns, as well as 4 print media campaigns to be conducted by the end of March. And then 100 special schools will be visited nationally and made aware of the existence of SEE by the end of March 2018. Chairperson, then the last slide. It's recommended that the Portfolio Committee notes the annual performance plan of the Department of Labour and supported employment enterprises. Thank you.
Thank you, Members, what do we do? Do we take this report and engage on it, or we listen to all the reports? Seeing that we have time today, so we can take one by one. Any problem? Okay. Okay. Are we not taking questions? You're not done, are you? Department of Labor.
Chair, I thought you were saying we must do another... okay.
Questions. Oh, Honorable Ollis.
Sorry, Chair, I'm just clarifying. Can I take my questions now? Or are you doing another presentation and then questions?
We are doing questions.
Okay, I've got questions.
No, Chair, I thought you were saying you will take questions, so I was lifting my hand on that.
For the question?
Yes.
Okay.
Chair, I have only one question on slide 15, where you have registration of work seekers. It may happen here that the unemployed youth is not aware of this process, of this service. What are your plans in terms of advocacy so that at least we know you meet your target? Thanks, John.
Honorable Ollis. Thank you, Honorable Ollis.
Thanks, Jay. Look, I'm disappointed in this document. I must be honest. And I'm disappointed in it for about 3 reasons. The first reason is, the first thing we have told is that you now have less targets. Now, I don't like that. I don't like that because it's our job to monitor the department. And the COO tells us that we've now reduced the number of targets. That always happens because there's always, it's like tax, you know. Government comes up with new tax rules or Treasury comes up with new tax rules and then accountants spend the next year or two finding the loopholes. And then government comes up with more stringent tax rules and then the accountants go and look for more loopholes. So I know the way this game gets played. And it's the same with all the department's targets. The department's natural inclination, like the tax experts, is to make the targets easier to achieve. And then Parliament comes along and tries to make them more difficult to achieve. And then the department tries to find the loopholes and make it easier to. It's a game. I understand the game. But to be told straight off up front that you've reduced all the targets is actually not the game. You need to have stringent targets and you need to be able to achieve them progressively. Obviously, you know, you increase it slowly. You don't increase it all at once. But, I mean, that's just actually not okay to reduce the number of targets. And I'm concerned about some of these targets specifically. So, first of all, I don't accept the fact that you can just reduce your targets. That doesn't, without an explanation, that's just not okay. And then some of these targets, on slide 14, the percentage of non-compliant employers of those inspected served with a notice. We're going to serve only 80% with a notice within the time frame. That should be 100% or very close to 100%. Or otherwise the time frame is too short, you know. 1.4, the percentage of reported incidents investigated and finalized within the prescribed time frame, 65% within the time frame. That's a low percentage. I mean, it's not going to be 100% because you've got to investigate. So there's, I understand it takes time to investigate. You know, but then the time frames must suit the reality so that you can achieve your target. You should be able to get 90% of your time frame. Otherwise, the time frame is a wrong time frame. You must adjust the time frame. Because otherwise, you're going to tell us, wow, we achieved our target. The target was only 65% of the target. Do you understand? To think it's good to achieve 65% of a target either means the target is wrong or else we're not performing. So, I mean, I don't think that's a very good target whatsoever. The one that surprises me the most is on page 18, your number of registered work and learning opportunities filled by registered work seekers per year. Now, I remember last year, just from memory, I don't have it in front of me, but I remember that you placed over 14,000 people last financial year. Now, your target is only 8,000. So now you've reduced the target from the actual by, is that a third or is it a quarter? My maths is not all that good. I only did standard grade maths in high school, so sometimes my numbers aren't perfect. But anyway, it's a big drop from 14,000 to 8,000. I think that's a third. It should be higher. You can't achieve 14,000 and the next year set your target at 8,000. That's just too low. It needs to be higher. I don't see no reason why it shouldn't be 14,000 again. So you're trying to achieve less. That's just not on. You need to increase that target. And then, Chair, I just have a question on page on slide 20. I think it's just maybe in my English, but 2.1, establish institution of the national minimum wage by 31st of March each year. I think the English there just, I think you just mean institute the thing, not each year. You can't open a new commission every year. I would just delete each year because I don't think that's what you mean. And then just on slide 24, two annual labour market trend reports produced by June 2017. Can you just tell us where you're going to publish them? Because obviously as members we'd like to read what's going on in the labour environment. We just need to know where will you publish them. Will you publish it on your website? Will you give Parliament a copy? Or how will we as members get access to that? And then just one final one on your slide on page 26. I understand that you want to do just a high-level presentation today, but when we're reading your report, it's not helpful if we don't have the previous year's actual budget. You've given us the medium-term estimates, but we've got nothing on this document to compare it to, and we don't carry that full budget report around with us. When you do these reports, please always give us the current so that we can say, oh, it's a big increase, or, oh, you're not given enough money, we're a bit worried about it, but now we can't worry because we don't know what the facts are. We can get it. We can go to our office and fetch the thick E&E book and go and find the page and all that. But when you do a slide like this, please can you just give us the current, and then we know whether it's getting better or getting worse, and we can comment, you know, maybe the committee will recommend to Treasury certain things. I remember we recommended the increase for the Inspection and Enforcement Services. There weren't enough labour inspectors, and we pushed in our report to say, please, can it be increased? So we need to have that so that we can make recommendations. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Police. Honourable Van Schalkwyk.
Thank you, Chairperson. When looking at the plans in terms of all the numbers
in terms of the work seekers that they want to reach. We know that in the past that it was some kind of a problem. And I think one of the perceptions was in the past that the system might focus on low and low skilled and non-skilled workers. But in terms of the Department of Higher Education or the institutions, we know that they can play a vital role in terms of the strengthening the ESA system. So how do you plan to incorporate or work with those institutions to try and strengthen the system? Also, when we receive reports previously, there was some time that we've heard that there has been problems in terms of the system itself, that it is sometimes slow and down, and how do you have plans in place to strengthen it in terms of the structure, to strengthen it in terms of helping that it produce better results in future, or is that problem resolved at this stage? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Franz Kelvin. Honorable America.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning. I've got two questions. One relates to the slide number 17 in relation to the figures presented on slide number 15. That is the number of work seekers registered on the system per year, which is 500,000 in total. And if you look at the number of such work seekers being sort of counseled per province, and if you look at the cumulative total as envisaged, you arrive at a total of 140,000, which is about 28% of that envisaged figure. And if you drill down further, you will notice that the sort of low percentages per province, particularly if you look at Gauteng province, which is have the highest registered work seekers, and KwaZulu-Natal and the Western Cape, and if you look at the percentages of those unemployed individuals, the percentage is fairly low compared to a small province like the Northern Cape, where the percentage is 68%. Now the question is, how do you explain that? Do you have more capacity in the Northern Cape vis-a-vis Western Cape, Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, where the percentages are fairly low, and what needs to be done about that? And then the second question, Madam Chair, relates to slide 20 regarding the established institution of the national minimum wage and the process that the department will get involved in. Now, as we all know, that it is also required that the social impact study needs to be done in relation to the implementation of the national minimum wage. Where in this particular outline will such the department's role play in facilitating that social impact studies before legislation could be passed? Thank you.
Thank you. America, Honorable Khawula.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks for the presentation. Chair, mine is just simple on page 13 and 14. Well, you must appreciate the breakdown per provinces. Thank you very much. It gives an idea. But I want to check on page 13 and page 14, when you refer to the inspection on the basis of what will be reported as non-compliant, does it refer to the quarterly target? So it means out of the quarterly target of what you would have inspected, then And then you have the 80% that you are referring to. Is it against the target that you have set here per province on 13, on page 13? Or what? Because I see the target is against the province. So basically saying that out of what would have been reported per province, and then whatever that is reported as non-compliant, you'll be acting on that. I just want to check that. And then on the same page, on 14, I'm trying to check, basically it's a follow-up on what Honorable Olis was raising. The reduction of targets, is it because of you have lost capacity, or is it because of capacity constraints in terms of your inspectorate services? So that if we're having a deficiency in terms of inspection, I think as this committee we need to know, you see, so that we see where we can assist. Yeah, that's the point I want to raise, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Members.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and the Honorable Members. Firstly, let me state, Chair, that we did not reduce the targets. We reduced the indicators. That's what the COO said. Because we realized that some of, for instance, when it comes to inspections, previously you would have noted that we would say we will do inspections on employment equity. We will do inspections on basic conditions of employment. We will do inspection on occupational health and safety. The reality is an inspection is an inspection. So what we've done is we've combined all our inspections into one. We will then break them down when we report and say, on employment equity, of the total that we have done, this is a percentage of employment equity inspections we've done, the percentage of occupational health and safety inspections we've done, this is a percentage of the basic conditions of employment. So the targets, that target has not been reduced, but it has been consolidated into one indicator. And so the other indicators relating to administration, for instance, we had quite a number of indicators under administration. We've reduced those indicators, and what we've done is the work that was in here has been relegated to individual work plans of the officials that are responsible for that work under administration. So generally, there is no reduction of targets at all. It's a reduction of indicators, because we have the view that the fact that you have 20 indicators is not a reflection of you know, how busy you are. So we felt that having less indicators is much more better and simplifies the process, and it makes reporting much more better. That's what we've done. On the, I'll ask the.
Sorry, did you just can you clarify further this reduction of indicators? Maybe you can remind us, members, what did you mean by indicators? And if you are saying that your work will be, it's consolidation, it's not reduction, but consolidation instead of, you know, so just clarify what difference would it make? or what difference has it made when you are not consolidating? Maybe the understanding is these indicators. What are these indicators? What did you mean by indicators? Maybe that will what will clear whether you are reducing or consolidating. Let's start with that. I think that's for me to understand, because I was under the same view that you are talking about the targets.
Thank you, Chair.
Maybe in a form of an example.
Thank you, Chair. You have a key performance. You have a what you call a KPI A, which will say you have you must inspect a percentage of entities to check compliance with different pieces of legislation. Now, under that, you will then have a key performance indicator, which will actually indicate whether you have achieved your objective. Now, under that indicator, you'll then specify exactly what is it that you're going to do. Now, if you look at our strat plan for an APP for 2016-17 under Inspection and Enforcement Services, you would note that we had three indicators talking about inspections. So you'll have an indicator that says we will take a number of reports, employment equity reports, analyze them, and follow the process of a DG review. We said that. The second one was that we will then, each indicator will then have another indicator which talk to the enforcement aspect of the work that we do. We will then say 80-90% of the non-complying employers would be issued with the legal notices. So what it means is that you currently have two indicators now for one thing, which is an inspection, a digital review on employment equity, and then you have an enforcement aspect of it. And then another one will be, we will then investigate incidences, which is an OHS work. And then you'll have an enforcement aspect of that. And the third one will then talk about the general inspections that we do, which are your basic conditions of employment, the different sectoral determinations. And then there will be an enforcement element to it. So what you see is actually a consolidation of all those things into only two indicators. So you have an indicator that says, a performance indicator that says, I'm going to do inspections. I'm going to do X number of inspections. And then the second one says, when I've done these inspections and I've picked up that the employers were not complying, this is what I'm going to do to make sure that they comply. This is how I'm going to enforce the law. So you only have two things now, when previously you had six. So it's not the reduction of a target itself, but it's a consolidation of the inspection work that we're doing into one. Now, when we come to the committee, we're going to come to the committee and say, committee, we did 10 inspections. Of the 10 inspections, this is the employment equity percentage of the inspection. This is the occupational health and safety percentage of inspection. This is the different sectoral determinations. And these are the levels of compliance with respect to this and that and that and that. And this is something that we were doing previously, but separately. So we now consolidated that into one. So that's what I meant when I spoke about the consolidation of indicators, Chairperson.
Meaning that the committee will not be in a position to question any amount, let's say, of inspections that you had, because there's no target or no objection to say at this period we expect to have done so much. Or am I missing the point? That's my only worry. I might be missing you, because really I don't think I understand. Because if you are saying let me correct me if I had you wrong. You are now going to say your two indicators are saying we will do inspections. Finish. They say two inspections. And let's say on employment equity. If you come to the committee and say we have done inspections in company A and B, the committee can't ask you why you have not done more, because you don't have targets. Just correct me there, did you?
Thank you, Chair. If you go to slide 13, slide 13 says, and 1.1 says, number of employers inspected per year to determine compliance with the employment law. Sorry. Slide 13, Chairperson. Number of employers inspected per year to determine compliance with the employment law. So we've indicated that we have an annual target of 217,000. We've broken that target into four quarters. So per quarter, for instance, quarter one will be 43,000. Quarter two will be 65. Quarter three will be 43. Quarter four will be 65. Now, in the past, we would have this. And on top of this, we will have an indicator that says we will do X number of inspections with regards to employment equity. We will then say we'll do X number of inspections with regards to occupational health and safety. And for each of those indicators, we would have an enforcement element to it, just as we have in slide 14, which talks about percentage of non-compliant employers of those inspected served with a notice in terms of relevant labor legislation within 14 calendar days of the inspection. So we would have that. So which meant that we had six indicators in total. So what we've done is we've reduced those indicators into only two instead of six, but consolidated every work that was supposed to have been done under those four indicators, consolidated into these two. We're going to do inspections. That's the work that we do. That's our mandate. We're going to do inspections. Now, as to what type of inspections, we have not specified it here. We've specified it in our what we call technical indicator guidelines, that X number of inspections are going to be this much. When we report to the committee, we're going to say to the committee, For quarter one, our target is 43,000.
It's just on this topic as well. It's a follow-on. The point is that the DG said that I was mistaken. It's not the targets that have been reduced. It's the number of targets is reduced. But the number of indicators that's reduced. But at the end of the day, Chair, what it means is that we're going to get less information on the detail of their work. So they might not have reduced the targets, except that one on placing people in jobs. I want to still get the answer to that. But it does mean we're going to get less information. Instead of getting the answer on how many employment equity inspections and how many occupational health and safety inspections and how many whatever else inspections, plus how many notices issued on each one of the separate ones, they're going to consolidate it and give us one amount as a report. And what that means is that it's going to be difficult for us as a committee to drill down in that information. Because, for example, they might decide that one or other of those indicators is not as important to them as it is to us, and we won't know that unless they give us the same indicators they gave us last year. In other words, the information that we get is going to be less. And that worries me. Because that's you can shake your head as much as you like. The point is this, that you're telling us here today in this committee that you're going to set less indicators, and that must mean something. It means less information. Now, if you're not going to give us less information, then put back all the indicators. Otherwise, what's the point of reducing the indicators? You could use language to try to trip me up, but it doesn't work with me. It's chairperson, if you reduce the indicators, you reduce the information.
Put your point. Leave their body language. Just put your point. Are you done?
Okay.
Okay. I think those questions, the DG, I think as you are going to be clarifying, I think listen to them and then you just. It makes you to understand our thinking and understanding of what you are saying. So if we are wrong, then show us. Honorable Kaula.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I also want, just for clarity purposes, just to check if my understanding is correct. From where I'm sitting, the explanation from the DG on slide 13, where when it refers to the consolidation, is that the function is not lost. The function is there. It's just that, for instance, when they refer to the employment law, they refer to all the aspects of inspection that they were doing. The only difference is that they did not subcategorize as they used to, which in my view, it's fair enough. But now I just want to check if you can just say expressively, if when they do the inspection, it will be inspection across all at the same time, or the target has been subdivided according to those functions, which they will then report about, and say that out of the total we have reported, there's so much refers to basic conditions of employment, there's so much refers, I just want to get that clarity. The other clarity that I want to check on the consolidation, which then save time as you represent. And I want to check now if the cost that was there prior to the consolidation, which was done as a result of the inspection in terms of the subcategories, what then becomes the impact from a cost point of view? Because in my view, as you present, it means the department is going to work more simpler than it was. You see, if you can just also give an expression in terms of the cost aspect of that. Otherwise, I hear the view that it's a consolidation of functions, functionaries are there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I think the point we're trying to make is that we will give the committee the same information that we were giving to the committee. And when I was explaining, I said, we will come to the committee and say, we've done 10 inspections. We will break down that 10 and say, out of the 10, 2 are employment equity, 4 is occupational health and safety, 3 is basic condition of employment and its sectoral determination, 1 is this and that and that, and it all add up to 10. So there is nothing that we will not give the committee. Previously, the committee said to us, we want you to give us information relating to the sectors that you're inspecting. So we can only provide that information if we tell the committee the types of inspections that we're doing. So just giving you one figure is not going to help us. It's not going to help you either, because you also want to make sure that you monitor the work that we do, and it's our responsibility to provide you with that information. So there's nothing that you're not going to get. Now, with regards to whether with this there will be cost reduction, Chairperson, the work that was done is still going to be done this year by the same officials. All what we've done is on information, on performance information. We're trying to manage performance information here. On performance information, we decided that we will only consolidate this on our strat plan and APP. But functionaries, where they are, they still operate exactly the same way. That's why it's going to help us to gather the data that we'll need so that we can provide the committee with that information. It's actually not the cost saving comes from the fact that if we were printing 2 pages, we're now printing 1. So that's where we are. Let me run through the other questions that were asked, Chairperson. On slide 14, the percentage of non-compliance served with 80%. I think there was a question whether that is, or why not 100%. Now, our experience has actually taught us that when an inspector goes out to do an inspection, the requirement is that an inspector must come back and serve a notice. And more often than not, the inspector, even though the notice is ready to be served, in most instances, the employers will not be there for the inspector to serve the notice. Now, the question is, who do you punish? Because if you haven't been able to serve the notice, the employer has not received the notice. On performance, do you then say to that inspector, you haven't done your work? Because the notice is ready to be served, but the person who must receive it is not there for one reason or not. Now, in other instances, you get employers saying to us, I will not be available. Please, keep the notice. When I'm available, we can come and serve the notice. Now, it's very difficult to achieve 100% here. And that's why we said 80% of the notices that must be served, or not 80% of employers who are not complying, at least we must serve them with notices. So that's the reason we would like it to be 100%, as we have done previously. We've put 100%. It proved to be very difficult. On OHS incidents, 60%. And I'm happy that the honourable member indicated that he understands the difficulties with regards to the finalization of investigations and the time that it takes. It actually takes quite a long time. I mean, currently, if you take the Greyston Bridge that collapsed, we only had two sittings. And the problem is not of our own doing. The availability of lawyers that are representing the affected companies and all that, and you cannot unreasonably refuse them when they say they're not available, because that's not the only thing that they do. So if we were to squeeze ourselves and say we want to investigate everything within 90 days, it's going to be a headache, and it will not be realistic. And I think what we're trying to do here, Chairperson and the honourable members, we're trying to be as realistic as possible. Otherwise, we will trying to, you know, please the committee when we know we do not going to be able to perform. And the 60% is within 90 days. And as I've indicated now, that we have not been able to investigate incidents, especially serious incidents, within 90 days. 90 days is 3 months, and it takes quite long, longer than that. On the registration of work seekers and the plans for advocacy, yes, we do have plans for advocacy. In fact, on a regular basis, we go out and do what we call job fairs, where we inform young people about job opportunities that are there, and also we get to talk to employers. And in most instances, when we do that, we get employers to employ young people on the spot. So it does prove to be working in a number of instances. So we'll continue to do that in the 2017-2018 financial year. I'm going to ask Mr. Govinda to talk to the 8,000 versus 14,000.
Thank you, Chair.
Oh, sorry, the Chair.
It is under targeting. I think we understand the challenges that 100% is something that we all dream of. Something 100% in any sphere is difficult to make. Whether we are starting in everything that we do, 100% is difficult to get. But you can't under budget or under do a smaller target. Because you see what you are doing now, you are reducing that 100 to what you think you can do. But tell me, I understand all the challenges. What is that we should do, or Parliament must do, or government must do for you to be able to say, at least we can do 100%. Because your 80%, with this now, there's no total that is 80, total is 100%. And when you explain, I think we all the time we understand the explanations. Maybe the explanations at times are not adequate. You don't get enough information, because if people, every stage that you are in terms of doing your work. It's something that is written down. And it's something that is not going to fail, because that information of I've done so much, or we served so much, but we could not do because of ABCD. That's information that you have. And that is information that protects you. That's information that defends you to anybody who would think that you are lazy, you are not working, whatever that can be labeled against you. And as a result, I don't see the need of going down because you are not able to get 100. Then it means there is something that we must do. I don't think we have never lambasted you to say you have not done your work. If you come with your information, because it is important to us, is information. The information that you give us is information that shows us that you have done, in fact, beyond your own capabilities, but you have done it. But that is communicated, because if it's not communicated, that's when then we're going to say, you could have done 100%. So to any other person, once you say you target for 100% and you don't, you have your targets and you don't achieve them. If out of 100% you have achieved 60, you have achieved 80. With your support information of why you have not, the number of reasons that you might not be able, because also here, this is the work where where inspectors are involved, and we all know, but then you can't go down because you are worried that we'll never get there. It's not your fault. I don't think there is anyone before you who was able to get to 100%. If there was, in terms of inspection, then that's only when that will say you are not doing your work. So I'm not also convinced that you should lower the percentage because you cannot achieve. Because to us, your information is why you have not got there. It shows that you are doing your work. But also, there is nothing that pushes. You push what you have to the best of your ability, and your work, your reports that you give to us, they show us. I don't know, tell us if we have lambasted. Yeah, I think we can question. We will question. It's not that when you come and say you have reached 60 out of 100 or 40 out of 100, we're not going to question you. We will question you. But what you say, that what counts. Because if you have not done, you have not tried to achieve 100%, you are going to mumble when we ask questions. So I'm not convinced as well, dropping from 100 to 8.
Chairperson, we understand the concerns raised by the committee. And when I started, I said we have tried our level best to match that which we have been given as an allocation to the work that we have to do. We would love to investigate every incident that takes place and resolve the cases 100%. That's our job. That's what we aspire to do. But the reality is, we don't have the inspectors to do that. And that's the reality that we're sitting with. And the committee knows that we were allocated money, I think it was about 67 million, to appoint more OHS inspectors, and the money was taken away. Now, it would be irresponsible of me to expect the officials that do this work to perform miracles. They have to go out and do an inspection, and also they have to do incident investigation. It's the very same officials. Now, when we assessed the work that they are doing, we realized that given the current situation, they will never get to 100%. In fact, the number of incidences that they've investigated is in the region of the 60% and lower in some instances. So the challenge is, if we set 100%, we're actually setting ourselves up to fail. We know we want to get there, and we're pushing them to make sure that we investigate every single incident. So we share the sentiments expressed by the committee.
You know, I'm going to rest my case, because here 100% does not only apply when you are given more than what you require in your budget. 100% is 100% of what, exactly what you are saying, is 100% of what you have been given. Because you cannot budget for 100% of, because there's value and money attached, as you are saying. But then nobody expects you to budget more than your 100% comes from what you have. If I earn, okay, I have to do groceries for 500 a month. That's the 100% of the money that I have for my groceries for mine. Yours will be different. And I will budget according to that 500. And I can't go beyond, because that's what I have. So, but then I think let's put aside this case, knowing that 80%, the committee, we can't, you can't budget for 80. You must budget for 100% of what you have, of what you can do. We have been backing you throughout. But now going down, because you are saying you will never get there, I really don't understand. I really don't understand, because nobody asked you to do more than what you can chew, but we are saying what you have, that's your own 100%. We can pass.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to respond to the questions that were asked on public employment services. I just want to add to the DG, to the DG's comments on the advocacy to reach the youth, so that it becomes attractive to work seekers to use the public employment services system. In this year, we are planning 261 campaigns across the country. That includes the job fairs and various other communication campaigns in each local area. So we expect to take the message to the people in those local areas that they can use the public employment system and services. Chair, we've also been very active within all strategic infrastructure projects of government, and also all Operation Pakisa projects. So where the ESSA system is actually popularized, and you know, awareness created around it. So we've seen some very good examples of, for example, in the Saldanha development zone, where all the recruits that came from that project was recruited from the ESSA system. So we're starting to see that the system is becoming more popular and is being used by the various structures, municipalities, strategic infrastructure projects, and the PAKISA initiatives as well. And just to show you that the impact is reaching the youth, of the 660,000 work seekers that we registered in the last year, approximately 400,000 of them were youth in the age category of between 16 and 35. So that actually tells you that it's starting to have the desired impact of almost reaching the youth now. So that deals with the advocacy questions. Then on the issue of the 8,000 target, that was the point is quite correct that in the previous year we achieved 14,000, in the last year it was 12,000, and then in this year the target is set at 8, and that's purely due to the fact that the operational budget was actually cut. Most of this placement activity is actually done by 186 placement officials in our labor centers across the country. Now for them to go out and to canvass jobs, there are operational costs involved. So these operational costs were actually slashed in the budget allocations for the current year. So it's purely related to the cut in the operational budgets. Nevertheless, the branches will endeavor to bring in all the necessary efficiency gains and try and increase that number. We will try and work closer with our partners through more communication. That is why communication is higher. We'll try to do more and more efficiency gains to try and cope with the reduced operational budget that we've been allocated for this particular activity in the current year. So it's not that we desire to do less, it's purely the cost of the operation that hampers that process. And in our E&E estimates, we have made that view to the Treasury as well. Then, Chair, the next question that's related to the perception that the system is used by low-skilled workers and what are we doing to improve the system. Chair, we do work very closely with all the other government departments and municipalities as well. We have a memorandum of agreement with the Department of Higher Education to share data on the National Learner Database, which we automatically load into the ESSA system. And we also are working with them on the career counseling portal that they actually have implemented as well. As far as the system is concerned, for the last year, we had about 4,000 of the work seekers that were registered, about 4,000 of them were graduates. So they had national diplomas and above, and 35 of them were even post-doctoral students. They were doctoral students, postgraduates. So it tells you that it's starting to actually have the desired effect of where it's becoming popular amongst those people, especially those that can't access private employment services, are making use of the public employment service. Then in terms of the system and what are we doing to improve it, Chair, I think we are happy to announce that we've done a lot of enhancements to the system in the last 2 years particularly. We have installed self-help kiosks in most of our labor centers. 11 labor centers have been equipped in the last year, and in this year we will do a further 22. We've also introduced an online registration service where you can now register on the Department of Labor's website using the ESSA online service. And then to enhance the system even further, we provided for 2 auto-enrollment functions. So in other words, if you register for unemployment benefits, you're automatically enrolled in the system as a work seeker. So I think that process has been facilitated in the last year as well. So it just improves the running and the operation of the system. We've also worked with the Department of Basic Education. So when matriculants graduate out of the system, then we are also trying to auto-enroll them into the system so that we have this on the register, because they are then on their way to the labor market as well. So that, I believe, will help to improve the operations of the system, the operational efficiency of the system. We will also be installing 110 smart screens in the labor centers to display job opportunities to all those that are visiting labor centers, so there's greater transparency in terms of the jobs that are available and opportunities and key messages that are coming from the public employment service down to work seekers on the ground. And then lastly, we have also done logical enhancements like data cleansing and various other data cleansing processes to make the system more efficient. So there has been a huge improvement in the operation of the ESSA system over the last year.
Thank you, Chair. I'll ask Mr. Sheffield to deal with it.
Your 8%, you went down because of the budget. Do you understand? What is the monetary value of that 8% as to compared to what you received previous year?
Yeah, I'll just quickly find that information. I can get the allocation later and I'll give you that data. There has been roughly a 34% reduction in the allocation of PES, the PES budget in the last year, the operational budget. So I can give you the exact number once I get that information quickly.
Okay.
Can I hand over to Mr. Sifilchen?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to the honourable members. Chair, Honourable Chair, I think there are two questions that were directed to help in IR. One is in the relationship to where these labour market trend reports are published. What we would normally do is we would publish these on our website, but with respect to the annual labour market statistics, the Minister or the DG would then on an annual basis make these public, these documents public, and we could easily provide these reports to you in relationship to that. The second question was in relationship to the SEAS with respect to the national minimum wage, and also just linking it to the question around the establishment of the institutional framework for the national minimum wage. Chair, you would be mindful that firstly that this is a new piece of legislation that we're drafting, and the impact assessment could only be done on the draft that is on the table. So we are in the process of finalising the draft of the national minimum wage legislation, and an impact assessment will be done during that process before we submit to the cabinet and the parliamentary process. But we are in the process of doing a SEAS, both in terms of the Labour Relations Act and the amendments thereto, but also in terms of the national minimum wage legislation. The second question with respect to the national minimum wage is the institutional framework being established. I would argue that the institutional framework not only talks to the supporting and the administrative support for the proposed commission, but it is envisaged that the commission would be established on an annual basis to deal with the analysis of the proposed national minimum wage or the impact thereof over the preceding period. And therefore, the intention is that the commission that will be established will be a part-time commission and not a full-time commission. And therefore, it is framed in the manner in which it is. The reality is that it may have followed the same procedure as the ETC as we currently have within the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, and therefore the indicator may change in the next reporting period. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. The last question, last but one, the labour trends report, where are they going to be published? We normally put them on our website, but if the committee wants us to give them a copy, we'll do so. The question raised by Honourable Khaula, I think on slide 13 and 14 have been responded to it. The second part to his question was whether the reduction of targets is as a result of the loss of capacity. In fact, when it comes to inspections, we've increased the target from 185,000 to 217,000. So when it comes to inspection, it has been we have increased the targets. And also with regards to the percentage of reported incident investigated within 90 days, we've actually increased it. Last year it was 62%, we've now increased it to 65%. So in certain areas, yes, we have increased the targets. And in certain areas, we have reduced, informed by the resources that we have, Chairperson. Thank you.
Can we just grab some tea for 5 minutes before another, while we are preparing 5 minutes break, members, and then Netley is going to come in.
I was going to say, 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 I was going to say,